Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
How, how.
Hey, hey. My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer is here. It is the Hammer and Nigel Show, live in studio with a Second Amendment attorney, licensed firearms instructor, host of the Gun Guys Show, Guy Relford. How are you?
Man, I'm great, and thanks as always to our sponsor, Fort Liberty Firearms in Avon, 8401 East Highway 36. Great place to buy firearms, ammunition, or accessories. Check out my buddies at the fort at fortlibertyfirearms.com.
Okay, so we'll start out with this, you know, and I said it earlier, every parent's worst nightmare, school shooting in Nashville, Tennessee, three students dead, three faculty members dead, quick police response. A 28-year-old woman got into a side door and went up to the second floor lobby, started shooting. And I guess we could just start here with just your overall assessment and, you know, people getting in through side doors. I said, we've got to lock these places down and make them impossible to get into.
Yeah, did we learn nothing from Uvalde?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happened in Uvalde. It looked like someone was... blocking a door open to go out and smoke or something in Uvalde. And you would think schools would learn from this. And that's, to me, the primary lesson to take away from it. But, of course, what do we get immediately? Everybody wants to focus on the firearm. But, you know, I've had to remind people several times, even just today, since this is all unfolded, you know, the deadliest school shooting ever was Virginia Tech. And 32 people died, and it was two handguns.
Oh,
so we really need to, and look, am I minimizing the tragedy, the horror of three students? I think it's three students and three administrators.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course not. Like you said, it's every parent's worst nightmare.
It's mine.
Or grandparents, where I am now. And I don't minimize that for a bit, but my goodness, why don't we look at something that will actually prevent the occurrence rather than wanting to politicize things for people's pre-existing political agendas.
So on the heels of that, they had a press conference earlier today in Nashville. The authorities came out, said what they knew, and the minute that it was over, while all the cameras were still rolling and all the media still assembled, you had some anti-gun activists go up and kind of hijacked the press conference. I'm going to play you the audio of it, Guy, and I want to hear your reaction after this.
Aren't you guys tired of covering this? Aren't you guys tired of being here and having to cover all of these mass shootings? I have been lobbying in D.C. since we survived a mass shooting in July. I have met with over 130 lawmakers. How is this still happening? How are our children still dying, and why are we failing them? Gun violence is the number one killer of children and teens. It has overtaken cars. Assault weapons are contributing to the border crisis and fentanyl. We are arming cartels with our guns and our loose gun laws. And these shootings and these mass shootings will continue to happen until our lawmakers step up and pass gun safety legislation. I'm pretty sure this was an unsecured weapon
This
teenager got a hold of. We can't even pass gun safety, like safe storage laws in this country.
Pretty sure, which is fancy talk for I'm guessing here, but... What did you think of hearing that for the first time, Guy?
Again, we're not looking at cause and effect. We're not looking at preventing the occurrence. Everybody wants to move directly to their pre-existing political agendas, and that's so shocking to me. I mean, the underlying assumption of this person's comments are that if we ban a certain class of firearms, that school shootings or mass shootings in general will stop. I mean, is that a logical assumption? Again, worst school shooting in history was in the United States history anyway, was done with two handguns. So the idea that they'll suddenly just stop if we ban a certain class of firearms. I mean, we had an assault weapon ban from 94 to 04, and the Institute of Justice, part of the Department of Justice, did a study and said that its effect on overall gun crime and overall homicides with firearms was so de minimis, so negligible, that it was too small to measure. And if we were to renew it for another 10 years or in perpetuity, that effect would likely be too small to measure. So too small to measure to suddenly it being a panacea, some kind of magic wand that will stop school shootings. It's naive. It's silly. And I think these people don't even necessarily believe it themselves, or at least some of them. They're just trying to use a tragedy to advance a political agenda.
And maybe this is an unpopular thing to say, but I think it's the real reality. You can't stop a motivated, crazy SOB, whether it's a man or a woman. It was a woman in this case, 28-year-old woman. Yeah. The kind of woman in this case that wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to crawl through a window and I'm going to shoot children, does not care about any sort of laws that you pass. And unfortunately, the real reality, it's hard to stop someone that insane.
Yeah, it comes down to you can't legislate away evil. Right. And we all know that. I mean, logical thinking people know that. But folks who with political agendas don't think logically. They just want to advance what they want to get done.
Guy Ralford here on the Hammer and Nigel show. I saw your client and hero, Eli Dickin, was awarded Citizen of the Year in Greenwood. Of course, he stopped the Greenwood Park Mall shooter. Talk a little bit about that award and what that meant to Eli.
Yeah, I mean, that was neat on several different levels. First of all, it was great that the city of Greenwood, the mayor down there, and I think this was really driven by Chief of Police James Eisen, who I've become just a huge fan of and a friend of since this whole thing unfolded. And Chief Eisen, I think, really drove this. But the city of Greenwood wanted to say, hey, here's someone, a law-abiding citizen, lawfully carrying a gun, who stepped into the breach, man. You know, he put himself in harm's way, and he saved countless lives. And he killed a mass shooter and put himself in harm's way to do so. By the way, a guy with a pistol taking on a guy with, you know, what now the politicians out there would call an assault weapon, quote unquote. The guy with the pistol won. And saved a lot of lives in the process. So that was a big deal to me, and it meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to me, too, that Eli invited me to come.
He doesn't do a lot of these types of things. Like, the spotlight is not his thing.
Oh, well, Eli hasn't made any public statements, and he won't. He didn't make a public statement at this event. He was very gracious and stood up and smiled and accepted his award and said thank you and shook hands, but he didn't make any speeches or make any comments about the event.
I'm such a fan of this kid.
I know.
I really am. Oh, like, if we ever have a Hammer and Nigel merch store, I want big Dickin energy t-shirts. And
oh my God.
I think those things would sell off the rack, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling
no doubt.
You.
Yeah. But he doesn't want the limelight, you know, and he's a little embarrassed by it. And frankly, he's still, and again, I don't want to invade his privacy, but anyone who goes through this has to work through the fact that, you know, you've had to use violence, you've had to use deadly force, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal to any caring, thinking person, and that's who definitely Eli Dickin is.
Guy Relford with us. It's Monday Gun Day here on the Hammer and Nigel show. What's been the reaction of your reaction to the Fox 59 article? Because last week, Fox 59 had this article about how accidental shootings are up and they're blaming constitutional carry.
Right.
We all kind of heard the same thing, Guy. We've got some sources. They told us it was coming down the line,
right,
and it was. You came on our program and just laid it all out. I mean, just stomped on it. What's been the reaction?
Well, you know, I have to be careful to think that, you know, that maybe my social media and whatnot in particular is just an echo chamber. But I got to tell you, universally, and I posted things publicly. I tagged Fox 59 News. I tagged the reporter, Beer Shell Ed May, and I've gotten almost no effort that I've seen on social media trying to defend that story, defend that logic that, you know, oh yeah, we can directly attribute an increase in accidental shootings to constitutional carry when they couldn't even break out whether these involved people who didn't have a handgun license or that they even involved a handgun. And you want to blame permitless carry for handguns? It was ludicrous. And I'm hoping that Assistant Chief Christopher Bailey of IMPD is stinging a little bit, too. I went after him pretty hard on my show again on Saturday. And I replayed really the same soundbite that you guys and I discussed last Thursday, where he said some things blaming, you know, constitutional carry for more people buying guns. You don't need a license. You've never needed a license, a handgun license or any other kind, to go buy a gun. It's ludicrous. And I hope he's stinging a little bit. I hope the next time he wants to jump in front of a camera, he thinks a little more about getting his facts straight.
Because I know it's like we're getting to that point where they call it sweeps in television, where all the investigative reporters have their big stories that they roll out there. And you could tell this was like one of the big ones that Fox 59, CBS 4 is going to work on. But man, they just didn't reach out to the opposite side. And that's when things start get a little squirrely for me.
Well, yeah. And you know, the fact that it's part of the sweeps or whatever, that went into, and we mentioned it a little bit when we did our segment last Thursday. But did you notice all the sound effects in that thing? You had the scary music in the background. It was, it was like from a horror movie. And then you had sirens. You know, like ambulance sirens in the background.
The only thing missing was like a child screaming.
Oh, yeah.
That was the only sound effect I didn't hear in the background of that.
The sound effect of guns cocking.
Exactly. Nigel mentioned during our spot, he said, I think I counted 30 guns cocking during this thing. It was just
the Halloween theme song.
Exactly. It was so cheaply done, and it was so theatrical in a laughable way, and it just fell apart on the facts. So, I don't know. Universally, I've really not seen, other than people just come out and make personal attacks. Like somebody came on there and said, oh, yeah, here we go. An ammosexual is outraged, talking about me. And
ammosexual. That's a new one.
That's another T-shirt we'll make with Big Dick and Energy. We'll make both of those.
Absolutely. you know, that's a term often directed at Second Amendment proponents. And I actually, last time somebody called me that, I ignored this one. But last time somebody did that on Twitter or one of the social media platforms, I went back and I said, I have to ask, do you consider that to be an insult because you actually think I have a sexual attraction to ammunition? Because if so, that's just really weird. And then I said, but separately, do you think that's an insult? Do you think I'll be insulted by that because it sounds like homosexual? Because I got to tell you, I don't consider that to be an insult. And I got to believe that makes you incredibly bigoted, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Flip the script on him.
Yeah,
well done.
Exactly. And of course, I got blocked right away. So I did the victory dance after that one.
Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
So, Guy, there's a story from Arizona from a Family Dollar. An employee at the Family Dollar store in Arizona facing attempted murder charges after shooting a shoplifter who punched him in the face. Kevin Madrid encountered the alleged serial shoplifter inside the Phoenix store last week, warned the suspect to stop stealing and leave. The pair began to argue. The shoplifter then punched him in the face. Madrid responded by pulling a gun and shooting the suspect 10 times.
Oh. What are we thinking here?
Well, let's look at this under Indiana law, right? Since I'm not an Arizona lawyer, it starts off, and obviously circumstances change during the interaction, but it starts off, it's a shoplifting. You know, can you pull a gun on someone? In Indiana, you can't even point a gun at someone to protect your personal property other than your home. So can you point a gun at someone or shoot someone because they're shoplifting? No. But obviously that's not all that happened here. They get into a confrontation and a shoplifter punches the clerk. Well, at that point, is it legal to pull your gun and shoot? Indiana law, like the law of most states, says that the level of force you use to defend yourself or a third person has to be proportionate to the threat against you. Now, an unarmed person who's punching you can easily cause serious bodily injury or death, right? So the question is, under the totality of circumstances, do you reasonably believe that deadly force is necessary to prevent serious bodily injury or death? That's the analysis. So a lot of this is going to come down to the video in terms of, you know, was the shoplifter bigger, stronger, more aggressive? younger, whatever it might be.
What constitutes a serious bodily injury? Well, is that just a broken nose or is that a black eye?
Well, it's actually defined in the statute, and in Indiana, it says serious bodily injury, and it goes right down the list. It says something that causes a permanent and protracted loss of a bodily member or organ, meaning bite your ear off or whatever, but causes extreme pain or unconsciousness is part of the definition.
Okay.
If you're being rained down upon with blow after blow, you're going to pull your gun out.
Well,
defend yourself by somebody that's overpowering you.
Exactly. And look at the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman trial. That was an unarmed teenager who's winning the fight and has George Zimmerman down and is cracking his head against the sidewalk. And a jury found that Zimmerman at that point, even though Trayvon didn't have a gun. He pulled his gun and shot. He found that would be justified. But it's based on what's called the totality of the circumstances and any disparity of force. So a lot of this, if there's video, it's going to be, or if there are eyewitnesses, it's going to be very important to know things like how big was the shoplifter versus the clerk, how aggressive, how young or old or strong or weak, all those things are going to go into whether it's reasonable to respond to a fist fight with a gun, because easily a prosecutor or a jury could decide that that wasn't proportionate to the threat and charge them accordingly.
If anybody's got any questions or wants to continue the conversation, where can they find you?
Yeah, relfordlaw.com, best way to get a hold of me.
2A attorney, Guy Relford, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.